Well, welcome and thank you for worshiping with us here at Grace Point. Whether you're in person or online, we are so glad that you are with us. Last week, we kicked off a brand new series called Focus. And what we're looking at during this series are not just the things that we're meant to focus on as a church, because that's what we're looking at, but we're also looking at how we're meant to focus on these things as individuals. It's a both and. So as a church, we're meant to focus on these things. And as people, as individuals, we're also meant to focus on what it is I believe God is calling us to. And so to start, last week we just talked about what does it mean to follow Jesus, why we should focus on that, and what that actually means for us in our life. See, Jesus himself, when he was asked the question in Matthew 22, what is the most important commandment? He was asked that question, and he replies with an answer, and he says, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He says, basically, it's to love God with everything that you have. And last week, we talked about that. What does it actually mean to follow Jesus and to love him with everything and every part of who we are? The thing is, Jesus, in his answer, though, didn't just stop there. He didn't just say, you're meant to love God and that's it. He continues on. And he says these words. He says, the second commandment is like the first. You're meant to love your neighbor as yourself. Or to put it another way, Jesus says you're meant to love others. So we're meant to love God and we're meant to love other people. And that's what we want to talk about today, how we're meant to love others and how we're meant to focus on loving other people around us. The thing is, loving others is something we can talk a lot about. But how do we actually put it into practice? I wanted to start just by sharing a story with you of two people. And these two people actually put their faith into action and wanted to love their community in such a powerful and real way. And from their decision to love their community, something amazing was born. This is the story of Jonas and Ann Beeler. See, Jonas and Ann's peaceful life as newlyweds and young parents quickly went into a tailspin after the death of their 19-month-old daughter, Angela Joy. She died tragically in a farming accident in 1975. Ann was in her mid-20s at the time. She found herself descending into a world of darkness, of depression, and eventually she found herself on the very brink of suicide. Despite being a faithful churchgoer, she didn't feel like she could share her pain with her friends or her family members. She became silent, and she lost her voice. Because of that, Jonas and Ann, they actually drifted apart in their relationship. They didn't know how to talk about the deep pain that they were both experiencing. Instead, they remained silent partners who simply just lived together and went through the motions of family life. Ann eventually sought some counseling from her pastor. Her pastor, though, however, used her vulnerability of her grief to manipulate and to abuse her for more than 6 years. This abuse of spiritual power propelled Anne into intense pain. She started to blame herself and she started to experience shame, and she thought that it would kill her. After confessing all of this to her husband, Jonas and Anne sought counseling and began a journey towards healing. The Beelers reconciled as God restored their marriage. And through the repair of their own marriage, Jonas then found himself wanting to help other people who were suffering from the same despair and hopelessness that they experienced. Jonas then had a vision of offering free counseling services to their community. And here's what is so amazing. To love her husband and to support her husband's vision to help other people, Anne bought a concession stand in 1988 at a really busy farmer's market in Downington, Pennsylvania. Very quickly, their soft pretzels became a hit, and Auntie Anne's Pretzels was born. Out of Anne's pain came a purpose to help other people. And as Anne grew Auntie Anne's into the world's largest pretzel franchise, she continued to deal with her depression and her defeat. She felt that the secrets that she kept inside of her were keeping her in a darkness. And she desperately wanted to find freedom and healing. So Anne did something. She began to confess. She started to share her story publicly. She shared all of the good, but she shared the bad. She shared the ugly. And something amazing happened. Anne felt lighter. Anne started to feel freedom. And Anne continued to share her story whenever she could. And as she did so, she was able to work through all of the issues that had tormented her for so long. The guilt, the shame, the pain, the anger, the depression, and the list goes on. Anne discovered a new view of confession and a new passion to help other women experience the same freedom that she was experiencing. And because of that, because she wanted to love other women so well, in 2005, Anne actually sold Auntie Anne's. And she now continues to speak to audiences about her purpose and how through her pain, she wants to love other people and the power of confession and how we can find hope and freedom in Jesus. And to this very day, Anne still loves to support other women. She has a group that she calls 7 Women, 7 Weeks, 7 Stories. And each week, one woman comes and shares their story. And the rest of the women just love on her. God has used Anne's pain to provide love for other people. They continue to provide free counseling from Auntie's Anne's and some of their profits that they get. It goes towards free counseling in their community still to this day. God used Anne's pain to provide a way for her to love other people through Jonas's vision. And guess what? God wants you to love others in that way too. He wants you to share the hope that we find in Jesus. When we love other people, we have the opportunity to do that. And so today we're going to dive into the Gospel of John together. And we're going to look at a few passages that we find in John 13. And so I would invite you to turn there if you have your Bibles, to turn to John 13. And we're going to start towards the end of the chapter in verse 34. And starting in verse 34, Jesus says these words. He says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment." And he says this new commandment. He says, "Love each other just as I have loved you, you should love each other." And then he continues in verse 35. He says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world you are my disciples." See, at the time that Jesus is actually sharing this with the disciples, he's very, very, very near the end of his life. Actually, at the time that he's saying these words, it's the last time all of the disciples will be gathered together. And he tells them, "A new command I give to you. Love one another. For the world will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love." I believe it is safe for us to say, it's safe for us to assume, it's safe for us to get the idea that loving others is a really, really, really big deal. Actually, according to Jesus, he says it's a defining characteristic of who you are. If you follow me, you love other people. If we choose to follow Jesus, that means that we choose then to love others because that's what defines us, is our love. But what does that actually look like? How do we actually love other people? One of my favorite authors of all time is a man by the name of Bob Goff. Bob Goff speaks and he writes a lot about how to love other people and how we experience joy when we love other people. And he actually talks about what does it look like for us to love people in the way that Jesus loves other people. And so today I wanted to share with you a quote from Bob. I'm going to read for you the whole quote, but you'll only see a little snippet of it because it's such a good line that I didn't want you to miss it. And so here are Bob Goff's words. He says, Jesus talked to his friends a lot about how we should identify ourselves. He, meaning Jesus, said it wouldn't be what we said we believed or all the good that we hoped to do someday. Nope. He said we would identify ourselves simply by how we loved people. It's tempting to think there's more to it, but there's not. And then this is so powerful. He says, love isn't something we fall into. Love is someone we become. Excuse me. See, for so long, we've probably heard messages. We've probably heard messages that say, love other people. We've probably heard messages that even say, love your neighbor. We've heard messages that say, be like Jesus and love those around you. And we hear those messages, we hear those sermons, but we've never actually taken the step to begin to love other people. As Bob says, we think that love is just something we fall into. And it's not something we have to work at or become. But I want to challenge that thought. See, Jesus, when he was talking with his disciples, he says, it's a new commandment I give you. He tells them this isn't just a suggestion, but this is something you're actually meant to really, really, really do. It's something you're meant to take seriously. And if we're serious about following Jesus, that means we're serious about following his commandments. And here's the thing. As we follow Jesus, it actually helps us. It actually helps us to love other people. Because when we follow Jesus or when we're a disciple of his, that means that we learn from Jesus. We learn and we do what Jesus did. And it means that we have him who helps us to love other people. And we simply just have to follow his example. So the thing is, loving other people, we don't just fall into it. But love takes practice. Many of you have probably heard the saying, practice makes perfect. What that means is that we actually have to do the very thing that we want to be good at. It means we actually have to take the time to learn the skill and to actually do it. If we want to be good at it. This reminds me of the very first time that I ever put on hockey skates. You know, if you want a mental image in your head, it's an embarrassing one of myself. Think of a giraffe learning to walk for the first time. Because that's probably what I looked like the very first time I ever put on hockey skates and stepped out onto the ice. Have you ever seen a giraffe trying to walk for the very first time? If not, look it up following this video on YouTube or following this message, sermon, whatever, on YouTube. Because the thing is, a giraffe looks really uncomfortable when they're learning to walk. Their limbs begin to flail everywhere. They don't quite know how to use them. They look really unsteady and unstable. That was me on skates. I felt like I couldn't stand. I was going to fall over at any time. And guess what? When I first started to skate, I learned how to fall and how to fall a lot. I remember my tailbone hurting so bad after I first started skating because I kept falling. But guess what happened? As I kept practicing skating, I got better. I learned how to actually stop on my skates instead of just running into the wall to stop myself. I learned how to skate backwards, and I learned how to generate speed. I learned this skill called power skating. I learned how to turn and to keep my speed up without slowing down. And I learned everything that I needed to do because I was willing to practice. Loving other people is no different. It takes practice to get good at loving others. And as we keep loving other people, and as we continue to practice it, it becomes second nature. And we become the very love that we are commanded to be. And that's the new command that we have been given, to love. Excuse me, sorry. Last week, we talked about how Jesus is really awesome. And one of the things that makes Jesus so awesome is he doesn't just leave us guessing. When Jesus tells us how to do something, or when he tells us to do something, he also tells us how to do that very thing. The same is true when it comes to loving other people. See, we started in verse 34 of John 13, and now we're going to go to the very front of John chapter 13, starting in verse 3. Because there, Jesus shows us a way to love other people. And he does this with his disciples. John 13, starting in verse 3, it says these words. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So here's what Jesus did. Verse 4 says, Jesus got up from the table. He took off his robe and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And he poured water into a basin. And then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the very towel that was around him. I don't know if you caught that, but it says, all authority. Jesus knew that all authority over everything was given to him. And so what does he do? He washes his disciples' feet. And now hear me out. Feet are gross. Like, I get it. But at the time of Jesus, in the time when this is taking place, feet were even nastier. Because they walked everywhere and they were dirty. They had actual dirt on their feet. And that's why it was a custom for their feet to be washed, because they were so gross and dirty. Here's what I want you to know. That all isn't the important part of the scripture. What's really, really important for us to know, and what Jesus makes clear in this passage, is that love requires humility. We're meant to take note of how Jesus takes on the role of a servant, and he does something for his friends, for his disciples, that as their teacher and as their leader, he shouldn't be doing. As the one with all authority of all of the earth, he should not be doing what he does. But yet he takes their dirty feet in his hands and he cleans them out of love for his friends. You could say it this way, that Jesus did the thing that needed to be done. See, he didn't do the flashy job. He didn't do the one that would get the most recognition at the awards ceremony. He didn't do the really big job or even the really fun job. Jesus did the very thing that needed to be done for his friends, which was to humbly serve them and to love them through his act of service. When it comes to loving others, I believe sometimes we just do things that make us feel good instead of actually showing people the love that they needed. If we're to really love other people, we're meant to humble ourselves in such a way that it's not about what we feel or what we get or what is our outcome from whatever it is we're doing. We're meant to humble ourselves and just say, I love you. We humble ourselves, and that means we serve other people. And the way that we do that is by doing what is best for them. When discussing with his disciples what just had taken place, Jesus continues and says these words in John 13, 14 through 15. He says this, he says, "And since I, your Lord, since I, your teacher, I've washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." Then in verse 15 it says, "I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." See, Jesus says that I've given you the example. Now do it. Like now actually do it. You are called to serve one another. You're called to love each other. And now do it. See, all of this stuff is great so far, I hope. But it's just the ideology behind why we're meant to love one another. If we're really serious about it, to love others is to actually love them. That means that we actually have to do it. We actually have to put it into practice. Again, Bob Goff says these words. He says, "Nobody gets remembered for what they planned to do." But that's the thing. We're really, really good at making plans. And we're really, really good at just talking about loving other people. But how good are we at following through? If this is so important, and if Jesus tells us to follow his example and even says, "This is the new command that I'm giving you, is to love one another," why don't we do it? You know, I thought a lot about that. And I believe one of the biggest driving reasons we don't do it is out of fear. We don't love other people because, well, loving other people often involves us being vulnerable. It involves us having to put ourselves out there. And when we do that, we're at risk of this very thing called rejection. And let's be honest, nobody likes to be rejected. And so because of that, we've come up with a really good list of excuses. You know, maybe it's, well, I just don't have the skills to love other people. I just don't know how to do it. Or maybe we say things like, well, I'm an introvert. It's just not who I am. Or we say things like, I don't play well with other people. I don't play nice. God is still working on me, and that's awesome. But God still commands you. Jesus still commands you to love other people. The list of excuses is always going to be there. But so is the command. And so today, I just wanted to end our time together by giving you some very, very practical things on how you can love one another. And guess what? You can even start by doing it like today. You can do these things right now, today. And so how do we love others? We love by praying together and for each other. All of us can pray. In fact, I would argue that all of us can pray in a really, really good way. See, prayer is meant to be just a conversation between us and God. And prayer, however, is super, super powerful. I would almost argue that prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have in this life. And you can begin to love other people by praying for them. And you don't have to know the specifics of every little detail in their life. You can simply just pray, God, would you be with whoever? God, would you make your presence known to whoever? And you can even pray, God, would you help me to love fill in the blank? And those prayers are powerful. And we're meant to pray together because it unites us. It brings us together as a body of believers, as fellow believers in communion with God the Father. And praying together will bring you incredibly close with someone because prayer is a really intimate thing. And if you want to get closer with somebody, begin to pray with them. Listen to what they pray for and what they care about and what they give to God. It's incredibly powerful when you pray with other people. And one of the greatest joys in this life is when God answers your prayer together. Because you both get to experience the joy of knowing how God hears you and how God answers you. And so how do we love? We love by praying together and for each other. We also love by knowing each other. This is really, really simple. But we're meant to learn the names of the people around us. We're meant to learn the names of the people who sit in the chairs next to us each week. And we're meant to remember their name. To know something is to be able to recall it. This is something I've actually been really convicted on. I used to always say that I am somebody who is bad with names. And God and Holy Spirit have convicted me on this. And so now, instead of saying I'm somebody who's bad with names, I begin to say, I am somebody who wants to remember other people. Because the thing is, it feels really good when we're remembered. It feels really, really good when people call us by name. Because it means they actually paid attention when we told them who we are. And they remembered. They took the time to store that information and to remember it. We can love other people simply by getting to know each other. We can learn what other people like. We can learn what other people maybe don't like. We can learn what somebody is passionate about. And we can listen to them share their passion. These are all real, powerful ways to love other people. I love what Ann Beeler does and how she just gathers people to hear stories. That's what it means to love other people, is just to listen. Another way we love is by gathering together. In order to love other people, we have to spend time with other people. And being available to one another is one of the greatest acts of love we could ever do, because it requires us to sacrifice our time. And we all know time is valuable. But when we choose to be available to other people, what that says is that I am willing to give up whatever it is that I had planned for the day just to be with you, because you matter to me. This isn't so much about the what that we do, but it's more about the heart behind it. Because let's be real, if we're fake about anything, people know. People know that we don't have the truest of motives and intentions, and that we're playing pretend. But when we're truly available, when we don't act like people are an inconvenience to us, it tells other people how much we love them. And when we gather together, it shows other people that we value one another, that we want to be together, that we actually enjoy their company. And we invite others to be a part of our life and say, you belong, you matter, I want you in my life. I want to spend time with you because I care about you and I love you. We can gather together by eating meals with one another in each other's houses. That's a powerful way to show your love to someone, is simply by eating a meal together, breaking bread together. You can do an activity together. You can go shopping. You can go have coffee. You can go see a movie. Whatever it is, spending time with other people is a very, very powerful act of love. But here's the thing. We can love in all these ways. We can love by praying for each other and with each other. We can love by knowing each other and remembering each other's names and gathering together. But nobody gets remembered for what they planned to do. So the real question for us today is, what are you going to do to love others around you? Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word and for your love for us, that you sent us your son Jesus as the example of how to live this life. And God, as we read your word and we hear the new commandments that are given to us to love one another, Holy Spirit, would you empower us in a way that only you can to actually love people around us? Holy Spirit, would you transform our hearts to be one of love to those around us? Would you empower us and enable us to be like Jesus, to be kind, to be compassionate, to be humble, willing to serve and to remember people and to love them exactly where they're at and to do what needs to be done, not what we want to do, but just to love other people. And so, God, we give this week to you. God, would you help us to love those around us? We ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Go and love other people.